All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Kevin Moore filling in for Joe Varnador, who is on an airplane heading to Salt Lake City. We've got Melissa on with us. We've got Sarah on with us. Good afternoon, ladies. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Hey, good. How are you?
All right. So I know we've got a couple of interesting items on the agenda. Melissa, if you can just kind of bring up the agenda for us.
Can you see it?
All right. I've got it. So what we've got today is we're going to start out with a question that Jackie Lambertson set in, and it has to do with specifically a note that she is looking to possibly purchase, and it has balloon provision in that. So I believe Jackie's going to be on with us today, correct, Melissa?
I think she's going to be on in a little bit.
Okay, so do we want to go ahead and just kind of jump over hers and go to Robin's?
Let's start.
All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to look at Robin Jackson's question, which is talking to a note seller. So if you want to get that information up,
okay,
we'll get started.
It looks like Jackie is on the call.
Oh, okay. Whoever wants to go first.
Let's go ahead and start with Jackie. That's what we had planned.
Here we go.
Jackie, I'm going to unmute you. Can you hear us?
I have no idea what my name is on the... I just clicked on the thing you sent me by email, so whatever it says, it's me.
Well, we're ready for you.
Okay. Or maybe it is I. Is that my third grade teacher rolling over in her grave? Anyhow, what do you need to know?
All right, Jackie, how you doing? So, Jackie, give us a little background on this note, and then we'll go ahead and we're going to break this down.
Okay, I need to bring up what I sent you. Can you put it on the screen, or do you want me to bring my screen?
No, actually, Melissa should be able to bring that up for us.
Okay, I just wanted to keep track of what y'all had compared to what I sent you, basically. But I sent out a direct mail, and my second direct mail in July and August, and I've gotten some really good returns with it. But when I bought the list, the vendor, I requested older notes. I like to pick them up when they've been about 4 or 5 years out, but he sent me ones that were newer. So okay. I've got notes that are originated on or after January 2014. So I'm just picked up one and sent it to you. It's a good purchase if I can figure out how to buy it. I also sent you Pat Bilheimer's flowchart for Dodd note compliance, and I wanted to just check what the status of balloons is now as far as what we can do with them or not. And based on her flowchart, it says that the seller can only have one note with a balloon, which is true. Most of mine are owner financed, so they're not brokers or dealers. They're just people who couldn't sell their house without giving owner financing. And the other rule is that the note balloons after 5 years, and I've been very clear with Pat on another deal earlier where I originated a note that it had to be after the 60th payment. It could not precede it at all. And that's true for this note, so I got through that hurdle. And then it says that the seller, if it had a balloon, that the seller had to an RMLO to conduct a credit check on the borrower, and that external entity needed to confirm that the borrower would be able to pay it off for it to be an exception to Dodd-Frank.
Okay. So let's kind of break this down. So what you're doing right now is you've got a mailing campaign that you're sending out. You are trying to target notes that were originated before 2014. And for everyone on the call, the reason for that is Dodd-Frank, as everybody knows, regulates just about every financial activity there is out there today. And in January of 2014, they put some new regulations in. It did have some impact on our industry, on the seller finance side. And as part of that, basically, they are saying that as a lender, you have to be a little more careful in terms of what you do in terms of qualifying a buyer. And so they have some guidelines everybody has to follow, et cetera, et cetera. So Jackie, with this note, what we're looking at is we know that this note was originated, and we'll pull the note up here in a second. We know the note was originated after 2014, so you automatically, because you are a experienced note buyer, you're a deal architect, immediately you kind of flag this one, just going, okay, I know because it was originated after 2014, I may have to treat it differently. So, and then getting into the kind of the minutiae of, in terms of the seller, et cetera, we're not going to, this isn't designed to be an underwriting lesson. This is designed to evaluate, help you evaluate deals, and then also understand the value of making sure that you've got professionals in your corner to help you set up the deals. So let's go ahead and let's take a quick look at the note first, and then we'll come back to the sheet and we'll walk through this. So all right, so that's the
that's not my note. Whoa, whoa, that's not it.
There you go. All right. Okay, so what we've got is we've just got a copy of the note here. So it's a note down in South Carolina. It's $160,000. It's a 5% interest rate. Okay, and it is a 59 months, and then it balloons in the 60th month. Okay, and then let's see. Go ahead and scroll through for us, Melissa.
Well, now that I look at that again, I might not be able to do it just because of the 59 months.
Okay, so let's just keep scrolling through. We'll go back up to the top here. All right, so this note was done in November. So this note's about a year old?
Yeah, it's, okay. Yes.
All right, so let's tell me, have you communicated with the seller of the note on this? I mean, what's their motivation? Let's look at this from the deal side first. And then we'll go back and kind of look at the regulatory stuff. So tell me about the seller. Why do they want to sell this?
Seller bought a lot, built the property to live in, lived in it happily, and then their family, their daughters and whatever, they're an older couple, moved to Colorado. So okay. After a couple of years, the wife said, "I want to be near my grandchildren." So. Okay. They proceeded to put it up for sale, and then another couple came to them and said, "We'd like to buy it, but we can't buy it until we can't fund it and whatever get lending until we sell our house." That's what you'll see some down here.
Okay.
In addition to other warranties right at the bottom of that screen. So they gave them this note, and the note is a good note, I think, but it's squirrely, and so. I have talked to him several times, and he's very friendly, I have not, and I've generally made him an offer, but I haven't. I've always said subject to the second round of due diligence, and I've also told him that my legal staff is questioning some things, so it's, you know, I've got things on my end I have to fulfill too. So we're sort of in the middle of negotiations right now, but then it dawned on me that because I've got 4 of these out of 17 that have come back in responses, that it might be wise to check with y'all before I step too far into this.
Okay. All right. So let's just back up for 1 second. You told me, if I heard you correctly, you said that the seller of this, which is Lloyd Fulmer and his wife Sarah, that this was their home. So they were living in this house in South Carolina. They sold it on a seller finance note so they could go ahead and move out to Colorado to be near the kids and the grandkids. Okay. All right.
And they sold it on November of 2015, so it's a year old. It's not even a year old.
Sure. Okay. And then the people that were buying the house from them, the Browns, so James and Terry, they promised to refinance as quickly as possible, but they haven't done so, obviously, right?
Right, and I don't know, because Lloyd has kind of gone dark on me in the last week, and while I was getting ready to talk to him, I went down and checked on their house in El Dorado, Ohio, and they sold it for $98,000 at the end of August. So they may be in the process of paying him off, too. So
there you go.
Okay. Life gets interesting. You always follow all the trails, right?
Well, it's always a new day when you wake up. That's how you got to look at it, Jackie. So... So with this note, then, what you do know is you know that Lloyd and Sarah sold their primary residence on seller financing. So, that creates a wonderful opportunity to do seller financing, and under Dodd-Frank, you can do that. You can have balloons. So, let's go back up and let's look at your narrative sheet that you sent in, and then so Jackie with this particular note, you said you and Lloyd have been in communication. You had kind of given him a soft offer, right?
I gave him a soft offer of the whole balance, and yes, I did. I gave him a partial for just the pre-balloon payments, and then a one for the whole note.
Okay. Which one did he like better?
Well, I haven't been able to talk to him since then.
Gotcha.
Because when I give him the quote, I asked them, I said, before you give me a response, let me put this in writing and email it to you, and then I'll call you back in 2 days. So I try to, you know, sell it to whatever, but I don't ask, you know, my style is I don't just go, you know, right immediately.
Sure. Okay. So what I'm going to kind of walk through here with you is some of the key points on your narrative here. All right. And we are in the business to buy notes. As part of that, there's times where we're going to buy notes that may be scratch, you know, maybe what we call scratch and dent, or it may not be a note that's attractive to, you know, one type of buyer, but it's attractive to us because we know how to work them out. We've got the resources, the experience, and that's where balloon notes fall under. So, with balloon notes, always make the assumption that number one, that the people that put the deal together, so the buyer and the seller, they probably didn't have much of an idea of what it meant by putting a balloon provision in it. Okay, there are legal balloon provisions. They are out there. People use them all the time. And if structured correctly, it's a wonderful way to put a note together. As a buyer, when you're looking at a note that's got a balloon, you can use that as part of your how you architect your deal, how you put the thing together. It's a negotiating piece. And always assume that the buyer, the borrower, always assume that they're not going to be able to perform on it.
Correct.
The reason for that is that's the safest assumption. And so if they can't perform on the balloon, what's that mean to you? Is that an opportunity? It absolutely is an opportunity because what can you do? You can restructure the note, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So this I agree with you. You've reached out to Lloyd. You've got yourself a note that could be a nice deal to get done. At this point, worst case is the buyers actually, you know, since you did some homework and found out they did sell their other property, they may have gone in and are in the process of refinancing. Right now in the world of lending, a mortgage can take 60, 75, 90 days. And if they went in September, you know, in September to get a mortgage done, it's very possible that it isn't completed yet. So let's go ahead and take a look. If you can, Melissa, let's bring up the flow chart that Pat had provided.
Oh, and by the way, I have purchased several notes with balloons this year, and I love balloons.
Perfect.
But they were not originated after the Dodd-Frank issue. So I'm just this call is to make sure I'm totally cognizant of what I need to do when I get into that area.
So in terms of you being totally cognizant of what to do, here's what I'm going to share with you. Go ahead, keep marketing for notes with balloons. Don't be afraid of them. It's going to be a good source of deal flow for you. Number two, know that balloons are legal. The difference is going to be that, hey, if it was originated prior to January of 2014, they're treated one way. If they originated after 2014, they were done a different way. And lastly, you're always going to have to be in compliance. So when you look at a note and you don't fully understand everything, then what you want to do is you want to refer to the flowchart that Pat has given you, and then also just reach out to the seller, number one, to find out how they originated this deal. And then number two, always assume that you may have to go back in and modify the paper. In other words, if it's got a five-year balloon on it and you're buying it and it's 3.5 years old, you may have to go ahead and modify it. So so Jackie, you're doing that. You're
Wait. What do you mean about if it's 5-year balloon and it's 3.5 years into it? What do you mean by that? Do you mean that I need to modify it for another 5-year balloon?
No. No, what I'm saying is, if when you're looking at a note, and let's just say the note was originated in 2013, and it had a balloon coming due in 2018, you're looking at now, it's about three and a half years in, you know that, you know what, I may have to go ahead and change the terms on this in 18 months, or they're going to just refinance out. And you get paid off early, you know, or you get paid off on time. So
the loan modification is at the end of the balloon. I just needed that clarified. I misunderstood. Okay. I apologize.
Not a problem. Not a problem. That's the value of getting on the call and running through stuff. We can look at it. We can talk through it, and we can remember it. So, yeah. So with this again, this flowchart that Pat sent you, it's very nice and clean. It's very bright. So. Everybody, I would just download this and just have it in your toolkit. And then just remember that with any balloon deal, what you're going to do is you're just going to have to go, you know what? I'm going to assume that I'm going to have to just redo the paper when the balloon comes due because the people may not be able to go ahead and refinance out. Still a performing note. They're still paying and they're motivated. And if they can't refinance out, how much stronger does that make your note? Makes it a lot stronger because you've got a pay history on it, and they're motivated to perform, aren't they?
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, nice deal. Good luck with it. Hopefully.
We'll go back and answer my other questions. Okay. Let's say that I talk to the seller and they say, I don't have their social security number and I did not do a credit check. Okay?
Okay.
So now I know that I've got a note with a balloon without a credit check that doesn't match that thing. Can I then, before I buy the note, pay an RMLO to give me a credit check and tell me they can pay it? And does that get me into compliance if I buy the note? Do you have a clue about that?
No. What I'm going to do is I'm not going to play attorney and I'm not going to play loan originator for you. Okay. But what I am going to do is I'm going to speak to you as someone who's been in the lending business for 20 years. What I'm going to tell you is you can't really pull their credit if you don't own the note.
Okay.
Okay. The other thing is because. Lloyd and Sarah, because this was their house. Okay, they were exempted from having to follow all the rules and regulations under Dodd-Frank for this. So I would tell you, look at this from the strength of the deal, and look at this from the strength of how the paper's written. So if it's a $160,000 note and it's a 5% interest and it's 30-year loan. And you can buy it at a discount that makes the yield attractive to you, either on a partial or as a discounted whole loan. Take it from there.
All right. Now, one last question, then I'll leave you. Does the seller's position in this Dodd-Frank thing transfer to me when I buy it, or does it not? In other words, if I hold more than 4 notes or whatever it is on that, if I'm holding, not originating, but holding them, do you have any feeling for that, or should I go? My problem is when I talk to attorneys, they have no clue either.
Well, the challenge you're going to have in talking with an attorney is this is kind of a very specialized area, And it's also very, very new, so there's not a lot of precedent, so they all kind of fumble around and tell you they know, but most of them are just reading it off of they're reading it off the internet. So nothing against attorneys. If there's anybody on the call who happens to be one, I work with attorneys every day, but you need to speak with an attorney who specializes in residential lending. So, Jackie, what I'm going to tell you is, if I understand your question correctly, you've got some concern that you would be considered to be the lender on this. And first of all, you didn't originate a loan, correct? You're just buying it.
Yes, I did not originate it.
Sure. Okay. And so let's just play devil's advocate, and let's just say for these people, the buyers, are not attempting to refi, and this loan is just going to play out, and in 46 months, 47 months, they come to you and say, hey, we can't meet the balloon, we can't pay off. At that point, just go ahead and be compliant and have them go to an RLMO then. That's what they get paid to do. They get paid to tell you that the people can, you know, afford to make the mortgage.
Alrighty. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, keep going and getting good deals like this. This was a nice deal. I appreciate you putting on the call with us. So let us know how it turns out.
I will. Thanks.
All right, Jackie. See you. All right. So our next question is, how do we talk to a note seller?
And Robin is not on. I don't
see. All right. We lost Robin.
Yep.
Okay. Do we want to go ahead and table this for a few minutes and we can just jump ahead?
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, do we have any other, we don't have any questions, right? I don't see anybody hands raised or anything like that. All right, so let's go ahead and last night, on last night's call, we went and we did a quick tutorial for everybody on the lead flow product, the lead flow training. So what I want to do is let's go ahead and let's take about 10 minutes and just walk through lead flow. For everybody who attended the Summer Summit, you obviously saw the presentation and may have signed up for it at Summer Summit, or some of you may have seen it but haven't done anything with it yet. What I want to do is just explain to you exactly what lead flow is, how it works, and then let me show you how you can very, very quickly and easily put together a marketing campaign to reach out to out-of-state cash buyers. So let's go ahead and take us right to the, we're going to go to the mentoring page, I assume, Melissa?
Yep.
All right.
Sarah, are you ready to take it over?
All right, we're going to flip over to Sarah.
No.
Hold on. I'm echoing.
One second. All right. We're gonna have a smooth transition here. All right. So I'll go ahead and let me just kind of fill the background in. So
yeah, I can do that. I'm trying to get it open here.
All right. So lead flow is a turnkey marketing program for real estate investors. The reason that we are working with lead flow as a vendor for us is basically for two reasons. Number one, because you can go ahead and market to cash buyers for both notes, and then also if for some reason you have an REO you want to sell, or if you are doing the turnkey model where you're taking and turning a property into a cash flowing rental, and then you want to go ahead and market that property and carry the note on it. All right.
I'm just getting in. I don't know if you can see here. I'm getting in through the...
Yeah, can we make the screen bigger, or is that just me? No, it was just me. Perfect.
Okay. All right, let me just see where... I'm a member, but I haven't used it in a long time.
Okay, so. That's all right. I'm going to walk you through it. You saw how we took Ellen last night from zero... From zero to a list of 1,000.
It's super, super icky weather here, so my computer is very slow.
Not to worry.
Melissa, you want to? Yeah, I suppose you have the same weather here. I can give you my credentials if somebody else wants to sign in.
Tara, if you want to email them to me, I can grab them off the email and get there. Sure.
Okay, so you're back. Actually, you're back up, Sarah.
Am I? Okay.
You are.
Yep.
Alrighty.
All right, so what I want you to do, please, is just go over to the registration process. Oop. I don't know what a long-running script is.
Yeah, it's... Here, I'll text you my...
All right. So with lead flow, what we're going to focus on is we're going to focus on the cash buyer system. I'm going to show you how you can go in and pinpoint a state, pinpoint a county, identify the correct buyers, and then you can then also build that list, put it into a spreadsheet, and then take that spreadsheet and move it right over. And there are templated letters that are already done for you, and we will have a couple of custom letters for our Note School students here by the middle of next week. The young man at Lead Flow who handles that is on vacation for a few days. So we'll get those put together for you, and then we'll update everybody. All right.
I'll send it back to you, Melissa. I emailed you, and it's also in the chat function.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry about that. We've been downpour rain all day.
That's why
I'm calling in from my phone.
I also got rain, Sarah, and I just saw the Ark go floating down the street.
I know. Praying that all my basements hold up here. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
The joys of owning old homes in bad weather.
Yes, that's all right. The beauty of owning an old home in bad weather is, you know, it can withstand the bad weather because it's still here.
That's true. I haven't thought of it that way.
You got to be an optimist. That's how you got to look at it.
One of mine is 147 years old.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. If that house was on the East Coast, it'd be a teenager.
That's true. See, you're good for perspective.
It'd just be a teenager. All right, Melissa, how you doing?
I'm working on it. I'm trying to find. I can't get to the website.
Okay. So. All right. Here's what you can do, guys. Is you can go ahead and turn me into a presenter. I can load. I can go right into it. We'll just do it that way.
Okay. You ready?
Great idea.
Sure. Okay. There you go.
All right, and then. All right, so then I just got to hit show my screen, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. All right, so there's my screen.
There you go.
Look at this. All right, let me do a back click for everybody on the call can see where I was. Okay, that was GoToWebinar. That's very funny. Let me go back to the other screen. It's just... Yes, it is a slow internet day. All right.
And we're all in the Midwest.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Somebody, there's got to be some sunshine somewhere for somebody on this call. So, all right. So what you're going to do is you're going to go into Lead Pipes. And it's very, very easy to get there. You just click on it, and it will take you there. There's going to be two sources of leads for you, cash buyers and then absentee owners. Today, we're just going to focus on cash buyers. And what we're going to do is let's pick an M state today. Let's take Missouri. You can then go ahead and you can sort by county. As you can see, there's 109,000 cash buyers in the state of Missouri. We're going to go ahead and let's pick a couple counties. Let's see, we'll take Franklin, because that's got a big number. And you can load a number of counties in. I believe the maximum is 5 at a time. So we're just going to load 2 counties in. And as you can see, that's going to generate a list for us. All That generates a list of about 13,000 cash buyers. So now what we can do is we can go ahead and we can do some additional filtering with that list. And how we do it is we go to owner detail. What we want to do is we want to focus on out-of-state absentee owners. And then we can go ahead and hit our search bar again. And that takes us to about 2,500. Typically, when you're mailing, you're going to work in a mailing list of somewhere between low end 500 to 1,500. Some people may like to mail to a larger list, but as long as you're staying between 500 and 1,500, that should be a decent population for you. Then what we can do is we can go ahead and do some additional filtering by property type. And all this is all preloaded in here for you. What we can do is we can focus on, in this case, let's just focus on single family. We can go ahead and drill it down by bedroom count. Let's just assume 2+. If we wanted to put square footage in, we could. We could put your built in. For this exercise, we don't need to. And then what we can do is let's filter by transaction price. And so the people you're looking for, so again, if you were using this, say, for the turnkey model, you want people that are buying turnkey rentals right now. So you'd want to have a low-end range, and I would say maybe 30,000 just as a good starting place. And then let's just go to, say, 75,000. So we know that they have purchased a single-family house, two-bedroom or more. They're out of state, and they spent somewhere between $30,000 and $75,000. And I'd updated our list. And my cursor is dyslexic. It's going down instead of up. And what that did is that gave us 109. Now, you'll also see that it lets us know that the people at the bottom are a business, so you know you're dealing with a business entity, or you're dealing with a trust. So again, that gives you an additional filter. And to make your list bigger, what we do is we just go in and add a few additional counties to go ahead and make your list bigger. So that's how lead flow works. You can save your searches. So if you're in there just doing some work and you're not ready to go ahead and use that list right away, just go ahead and save it. And you can build each search, you can build it, and it'll hold about 1,000 records at a pop. So that is how lead flow works. One of the new additions is they have started to put pictures in for you. You'll also see here where it says AVM or market estimate. What they've done is they've gone ahead and they've tied right into Zillow and Trulia. So that's where that information is coming from. You've got date of last sale. So for example, here, 1205 Southwest 19th Street. You can see that this sold at $98,000 a year ago and it was a cash transaction. And that is how lead flow works. So I'll go ahead and let Melissa or Sarah take the screen back. And we'll continue to make some changes. We work with the lead flow guys. So we'll continue to tweak up some changes on this and let everybody know, like I said, the templated letters should be on the site next week. All right. And do we have Robin back yet?
I see Robin's on the call. I'm going to unmute her.
All right.
Robin, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Awesome.
Hey, Robin, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right. So, Robin, let's talk. You've got some questions on how to talk with a note seller. What can we help you with?
Well, this particular note seller, it's been one of the harder ones to deal with. He is he's a pastor.
Okay.
He actually inherited this house from his father, So I'm sure there's some emotional ties to that property. When his father passed away, he and his wife went in and did some extensive rehab. And he's telling, you know, it sounds like from what he's saying in the neighborhood, he did above and beyond what he should have ever done.
So he probably rehabbed it to a level as if he and his wife were going to live in it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
So anyway, he ended up selling it with owner financing. Actually, it's a deed, a contract for deed.
Okay.
Now, so he put together, and this is what I sent in, I attached, was his offer to prospective investors, which I thought was interesting. I've never had anybody do that. Not with, right. Not to the point of putting down what their price was. So you can see in the middle of that he has, you know, he wants a little over $75,000 for this note. Well, first off, the price, the sales price, I think is a little bit above. In fact, it's probably $25,000, conservatively $25,000 above what the market is in that neighborhood. And I would guess that a big part of that's because he put too much money into the house.
Okay, so you're thinking that he sold this house on seller financing, and the price he sold the house at is above what the houses in the neighborhood would normally go for?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So in terms of this making it a good deal or a strong deal or a weak deal, that's we're going to peg that on as a issue that may make this a little bit weaker deal than you'd normally want to play with, right?
Yeah, that's one point.
All right. So then the next issue is, let's see. So the people that moved into the house, they have $25,000.
They put $25,000 down.
Okay. All right.
Here's his thinking on this. I asked him, I said, well, so I said, how did you all close this? Well, they just went to the bank and had a banking officer notarize the contract for deed. So there's no mortgagee insurance, there's no title insurance, no title search run. I, you know, and I can understand to a point because his dad had the house for many years and all that, but no credit check. No, I mean, nothing on these borrowers, basically. I do know that on the contract for deed, the borrower has signed his individual name, but there is a company as, like, the title. Like, instead of printing your name, his company name is printed. And so I asked the note holder, I said, so is this which is a corporation, which is now in Texas, I looked it up, and the franchise for this company failed to exist as of 2012. So he's individually on the note.
Okay.
I asked the note holder, do you have on the borrower, do you even have a Social Security number? No. And I said, well, you know, that will be something we would need to get, you know, if you can get that. He said, okay. He said, I'll talk to the borrower. And then I said, do you have any kind of pay history? No, other than, you know, he himself, the note holder, collects the payments, which they do escrow for taxes and insurance. But he just puts it in his personal bank account, and he's not going to give a copy of that statement. So he got back with me on the Social Security number, and the borrower said, well, I don't know who these people are, and I'm not going to provide any of that sort of stuff. So basically, the pastor feels like in this day and time, he did the right thing. You know, it's a spiritual, religious thing. He did the right thing because the guy put up $25,000 and he needs to know, and he's not going to provide anything else. Do you think I need to push this any further, or just go ahead and get this priced out as is and go on down the road?
Well, I mean, as you're talking through this deal with me, you've done a very, very nice job in prepping this, which I appreciate it. I mean, you're looking at a situation where he sold, you're pretty sure that this house is worth mid-80s. And the fact that the house is overimproved, that's not really going to help you if for some reason you buy this note, the guy stops paying and you have to, you know, do a deed in lieu or maybe, you know, try to mod it out, or worst case, you're going to, you know, you're going to do a forfeiture and get the property back. So right there, that's my number one factor in determining a discount. So in terms of talking to the note seller, it's going to be, listen, I'm going to make you an offer, and here's what my offer is going to be, because I'm the person that's getting all, I'm the person that's inheriting all the risk on this deal. So he's telling you, so he sold last June, so we're in theory about 17 months into this.
Correct.
So he should, right, but he can't, but he cannot show you a pay history because he's self-servicing.
Yeah, and he does not want to provide his personal stuff, so.
Sure, and all right, but does that make your offer go up or down?
Well, it makes it go down.
All right, so far we're looking at a note that is somewhere around 90, probably 93.5 still, and the property.
Yeah.
Oh, UPB. All right, you're saying he's telling you UPB is 93.70.99, but there's no way to prove it.
No.
Okay. All right. Did you put it into a an amortization calculator and just double check it?
Yeah, it's very, very close. Yeah.
It's pretty close. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's all correct. Yeah.
Have you guys talked real numbers? I know you said that he was telling you that he wanted $75,000, right, for this note?
No, I have not talked real numbers to him because I didn't want to discuss that at this point because I'm trying to keep the conversation going, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. How bad do you want this deal?
I could take it or leave it.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and just kind of talk through this thing. And if it's a situation where you are, and Eddie says, you know, we always have to think about being deal architects, et cetera, and we want to go ahead and just always be agnostic or ambivalent, where, you know what, we've got enough notes to work on, and if we get this one, great. If we don't, it's not going to kill us. We go to the next one. So with this, here's where we are. Right now, the UPB on this is 90,000, almost 90,500. It exceeds the current market value of the house. Mm-hmm. You are a discounted note buyer, correct?
Correct.
All right. The seller, who has said, you know, he's offered this to prospective investors, is probably going to want to try to get what, par on this note, right?
No, he wants his, and I guess y'all don't have the attachment I sent. What he wants is he wants 75,370 is what he wants. He's, in other words, based on the balance, the unpaid balance, he's offering his discount is 15,000.
Okay, what, buying it at that price, what kind of yield does that give you on this note?
Gosh, I can't remember what it was. I know we ran the numbers on what we would, if we would buy it, we would not pay more than $65,000, which I believe was a 15% yield.
Okay. Okay.
And actually, so that we ran that before we well, it doesn't make any difference. Never mind. So anyway, that, yeah, 65 would be the very top we would pay for this.
Okay.
That is really based on if we can, we can get this with just a little more work, but we can probably get the borrower's Social Security number and run their credit.
All
so
right.
If the credit comes out, okay.
Right, and at this point, let's focus also on your offer and why you're going to structure the offer to be at a certain price. So let's look at the ITV on this. If mm-hmm. if you're going to offer him $665, that's going to be at about what? About 80% of what you think the current value of the property is, right?
Right.
Okay. So you know, based on an ITV, you really don't want to go much over 65 or 66 or 67 because there's nothing to tell you at this point that that house is worth more than 80, 85 on the market today, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So you had some low end here. The two low end values were 61K and 46K. Where'd you come up with those?
The 61K was, let's see. What was it, 61? Home Facts.
Okay.
And the 46 is the appraisal district. That's what AD is, my acronym, okay. Appraisal district.
Just gotcha.
Throw it out.
I know. Okay, everybody, you know, everybody has their favorites, and it's fun to be on the calls because we also learn of some of the newer ones people are using in different markets. So yeah, the AD thing, I just thought that was, you know, in school you learn BC and then AD. So I didn't know if that's what was meant by that. All right. So Robin, in terms of setting this up to talk with the note seller, it sounds to me like you've got a price in mind. And that price meets your yield tolerance, and then it also meets your investment tolerance. His 75, you know, 350, to me, that's an odd number. Do you know if the seller owes any money on this house? Did he do a wrap on this, or is this house free and clear?
As far as I know, it's free and clear. However, I don't know for sure if he has some other line of credit outstanding or something like that for the rehab. But I know that, you know, and he inherited it free and clear.
Sure.
But, and I know he's motivated to sell, even though, of course, he denies it, because he says, well, we put really more into this than we expected, and we just kind of started doing things, and we ended up doing this and this. And and I asked him, I said, well, why? I said, why don't you just keep this? Why don't you just keep the cash flow coming in if he's paying so well and all? And he said, well, we just feel like that we need to go ahead and take the money and do something else with it. So, he has something in mind for the money. I haven't gotten to that point of what it's for, but anyway.
Well, it's what he's saying $75,350.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe that's what a new Mercedes cost. I don't know. Or a Lexus. So
I don't know.
Or you know, Kia's got a special. If you buy one, they give you a free one. Maybe he figured out he can get buy six Kias and get 12 of them and give them to the parishioners.
They really have that special?
Yes, they do.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yes, they do. So anyway, we're not talking cars, we're talking paper. All right.
That's a good deal.
So Robin, my weigh in on this, my perspective is I would go ahead and give him your number and then protect yourself with all your due diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not hard for him if he's really serious about selling, it's not hard for him to get proof of the payments. All he's got to do is go to the bank, and the bank will go ahead, put on their letterhead. They'll put all the deposits in there for you.
Right.
Okay? He's got to proof up. In terms of the note, you know that the way they structured this note, it was not done in the most compliant fashion.
Yeah.
You also know that they just closed at a bank. And so it's, you know, here, sign this, do this, and then notarize it. So he did keep this very, very casual. The good news is the person that's the buyer, they're $25,000 out. I wouldn't call that walk away money.
True, but I don't have any way of verifying that at this point. I don't have any verification of that. That's the other issue.
Sure. Yep.
So he should be able to prove that, like you say, they went to the bank. $25,000 was either given in a cashier's check or deposited in his account or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. So you've got a price with a nice yield on it. What I would do is go, okay, note seller, here's what I can do for you. Here's the due diligence I need, and my purchase is going to be subject to me receiving the satisfactory, you know, proof of the following. Bing, 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 bing. And then, yep, and then, you know, do your have an O&E report done. You know, do all your homework. You're very good at what you do. I know you know the steps, and if you don't, you're going to come on the call and run through it with us. But you're also right. This guy's kind of, you know, he's trying to blow smoke, you know, going, hey, here's my number. I don't need to sell it, but I've got multiple investors. And, my guess is you're going to give him a number, and you're either going to keep talking or he's going to say no. You're going to go to the next deal, and he'll come back in a couple months.
Well, interesting, one of the things he said, even though this was typed up this way, it was titled offered to prospective investors, and he has the address and the sales price and monthly payment, et cetera. And at the bottom of it, he says in parentheses, he says, does not include possible late fees when and if applicable. So in other words, he's trying to beef it up by saying, oh, if they're late, there's another whatever it is, $25, $35 a month. But he also told me that, well, we don't have to sell this. I mean, you've heard this 100 million times. We don't have to sell this. So, you know, if we can't come to terms, then we'll just keep.
Right.
I said, okay, that's fine.
Yep, perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. I have a lot of patience.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the oldest, that's one of the oldest quote-unquote negotiating tools there is, where they go, you know, we don't really have to sell this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as Eddie pointed out on a call a couple weeks ago, and it was one of the mentoring students, they're about 45 days into a marketing campaign, and very, very good response rate. And, you know, Eddie went, okay, so out of the mailers you did, out of the 17 people that called you immediately, what was their motivation? And the student's kind of like, well, and he's like, they're motivated to sell because they picked up the phone, and you know, the other 983 aren't motivated right now. Mm-hmm. So if this guy's talking to you, he is motivated. I'd say give him the number subject to your due dil, and you know what to do. You can always go back and offer him a partial on it if your due dil comes, you know, if you're happy with the due diligence information you get. And you can also go, I'll tell you what, I may be willing to reconsider my offer in a couple months if you can give me written verification that this is legit. And, you know, I also want to check the value of the property. So, just be objective. Don't let the deal die, but don't, you know, you've got the power in this deal, not this guy.
Okay.
Have fun with it. Let us know. Because it's a newer note, so you've got some nice cash flow off it. And if you bought this, would you just keep it for the cash flow, or you want to partial it out? What are you thinking?
I think what I will do is season it for myself for about 6 months, and then partial it out.
Okay.
Because I want to have, because I don't think I'm going to get really some good solid history from him. So I would, you know, selling Texas notes is not hard to do at all. And so I can just partial it out with somebody and, you know, go from there. So.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, have fun with it. Good luck. Appreciate you putting on the call, and let us know how it turns out.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time and y'all holding me up and, you know, waiting for me and all that.
not a problem. Not a problem. Glad to have you on the call. All right, so I think, let's see, Melissa, I don't see any hands raised. I think we're good here. If you want to go ahead and just whip us through our announcements, and we'll call it a call.
Sure. In November, our first call will be November 8th, because we're having the Note Expo. And so next Monday, October 31st, we'll have a call, and then we won't have a call until the following Monday. The week of Thanksgiving, we will not have calls on Wednesday and Thursday, but Monday and Tuesday we will. And December 19th through the end of the year are the holidays, and we won't have any calls. Everybody gets a two-week break there.
All right.
The offering for November, because we're going to be at the Note Expo, will be two titaniums, will be on November 10th at around 1 o'clock. And then the remaining offering will be on Tuesday, November 15th at approximately 1 o'clock, same time.
Okay.
You want to do this one?
No, you got it. You're on a roll. Okay. I don't want to break your rhythm.
Okay.
Go.
So I hope everybody is registered already for the Note Expo. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to start Wednesday night with the Titanium VIP event and Thursday the Appreciation event, and I hope everybody's going to be able to make that. That'll be a lot of fun. And Friday starts the at 8:30 starts the welcome reception. So, and the entire day will be occupied with lots of great information. So if you have not registered, I don't think there's any hotel rooms available, and I think you would have to contact info@noteschool.com to register for the expo, but I don't know how many more spots are open. So you'd have to send your email right away. We have a new email for our contents, so please download today's syllabus and review those new emails for when you're submitting your documents for the call. And that's all I got.
All right, great. Yep, I know last night Eddie had said that based on registrations through yesterday afternoon, we were at almost 450 attendees. So
wow.
We're gonna, yep, and that's not counting vendors, exhibitors, et cetera, et cetera. So we know we're gonna continue to get some more. So we are expecting over 500 people. Plus all the exhibitors and the speakers, et cetera. So if you haven't registered for the expo, do it today, because if not, you're going to have to just watch the videotapes when we post them on the site, and you can see what you missed. All right, guys, thank you very much. Melissa, thanks. Sarah, thanks. Thanks to everybody who was on the call, and to Robin and Jackie for submitting good content. Thanks, guys.
All right, see you later.
Have a good day.
Thanks.